Well, friends, about 15 or so years ago, I was in Thailand and I had an opportunity to be hosted by our regional directors who were in, regional directors of Southeast Asia who happened to live in Bangkok, Peter and Sandra McIntosh. I had met Peter before. We had actually served on a committee together for our Bible college a number of years previously. But this was my first time meeting his wife, Sandra. And I've got to tell you, probably every time I've met Sandra since, I have just always been inspired by her life. Ainsley and I truly count them as friends. We love getting together with them for a meal at least once a year, right? And just talking about life, talking about ministry, what Jesus is doing. Sandra is on staff with her husband at Bethel here in Ottawa. She is a passionate person for Jesus. But she's also a passionate person for lost people, and I'm so thankful for the zeal that's inside of her. And she's on staff at Bethel, and we booked her a year ago to come and speak for our Mother's Day service. And so it's a great delight to have her today in our pulpit. I'm going to ask that you give a big warm of applause as Sandra McIntosh comes to share.
Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be with you guys here this morning, and I'm excited to get into the Word of God with you in a moment. I want to thank Jeff for inviting me to be here. My husband said to me a few months ago, "So you're preaching on Mother's Day?" And I'm like, "No, remember Jeff asked me almost a year ago, to come and speak on Mother's Day?" And he was like, "That rotten Jeff Hillier." But I'm excited to be here. I actually just flew in from Australia last night. I got in at 5:30. PM. So if I seem dopey this morning, I am. So I pray that you pray for me and be merciful to me this morning. Our daughter and son-in-law and the cutest granddaughter you've ever seen on the earth, and I'm not lying. You can go look me up on Instagram. She is cuter than any other grandchild, of course. We just spent 3 weeks with them and got home last night. So we're really, really excited to be here and to share the word of God. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mums. Being the mother is the hardest thing you do as a human being. And so I honor you this morning, and I just honor all ladies and all people. Isn't it great to be alive and to know Jesus? Yes, it is. So this morning I want to preach a message to you called The Story You Tell. And I'm just going to get you to stand for a moment as I read the scripture. Psalm 78, 1 to 7 says this: "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable, and I will utter hidden things hidden from of old. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. They would put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that it's supernatural. Just in hearing it, if our eyes are open and our ears are open and our hearts are open, you can change us. And Lord, I need your help today. And although I am flawed and just a human being, God, your Holy Spirit is here. And I pray that you would take these words, help them to fly off the pages of your holy book and go deep into our hearts and transform our lives. May we not walk out of here today hearing a nice little message, but be changed. And to bring the best news to everyone we know and be inspired to love you more and walk with you closely. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we are all telling a story every single day. How you live your life is the story you tell. And the Bible speaks of how important it is that one generation tells the next the story of God. And I was preparing for this message. A crazy story came to my mind, one that my grandmother told me. She thought she had to pass some really important information on to me, plus a whole other bunch of stories that I want to share with you today that were passed from one generation to the next. All of us have those memories in our families. Some of my great memories are these. In my young life,
every single night, our family would have family devotions. My dad would read the Bible, and then we would all turn on the sofa or the chair in the living room while my dad prayed, because mom and dad were telling me a story. I had a wooden plaque back in the day. Remember those wooden plaques? I had one of those in my bedroom, and it said, "Only one life, twill, not will, twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." They were telling a story. We went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. When I got older, I went to youth every single week that it was on. Homework or sports never, ever trumped church. It was always done, but not during church hours, because mom and dad were telling a story. We prayed before every meal. My mom was the Sunday school director. My dad was the adult Sunday school teacher, and he only had a grade 6 education, and he struggled to read the words that he taught many times, but the Holy Spirit helped him. He was also a lay preacher at times, and I remember as a kid us traveling to little churches on Sunday nights, and dad would preach, and I remember dad's nervous word was hallelujah. You know how a lot of people, when they speak, go and ah, but dad's word was hallelujah. Once he said the word hallelujah in a sermon 66 times, and as a child, I thought it was really important to tell him that. But mom and dad were telling a story. When we started to pastor in our 20s, my dad was a board member almost all of his life. He sat Peter, my husband, and I down, and he said, "Have a vision. The people need to know there's a captain leading the ship. Make it plain." He was telling a story. And those things were passed to me as a child and modeled to me daily so I would know the story of God and how to live my life wholeheartedly for Jesus. I am so thankful for the story that they told. Now, the crazy story I want to tell you this morning came from my grandma. When I was young, we would visit her regularly. She lived in the same town as we did. And from time to time, we would have a sleepover. And they lived in this big wooden white house in the middle of Napanee, Ontario. And I remember that the guest room was at the front right of the house. And I was getting ready for bed on one of those sleepovers. And my grandmother happened to walk by the room. And she popped her head in because she felt it was really important to pass this really important information, this little advice that she wanted to send from one generation to the next. Are you ready? It's really important and unbelievably wise. I was getting ready for bed. She put her head in and she said, "Sandra, you probably shouldn't wear underwear to bed because if they get loose in the night, they might strangle you." It is seared into my mind to this day. That is absolutely truth. Sage advice. You might want to just write that down and keep it forever. So the story you tell is important. Our text this morning in Psalm 78 is a review of God's incredible work in his dealings with Israel. And throughout this chapter of 72 verses, there's a number of contrasts between God's powerful works and the unfaithfulness and the disobedience of his people. The first 8 verses clearly state the purpose of this chapter, and the psalmist wanted to encourage God's people to remember to teach the next generation the lessons from history, the lessons from the past. And then in verse 9 on to 72, the psalmist talks about Israel's history, talks about the blessings of God, the power of God, and then the many times that they just decided to do their own thing. In verse 9 to 20, it remembers many things. And if you've got your Bible or your phone there this morning, take a look. It says, it talks about the crossing of the Red Sea, and it talks about the cloud that led the Israelites out of the wilderness and the giving of water to survive. And then 21 to 39 records God's anger at the people because of their unbelief. It talks about God's provision with manna. He provided meat by sending flocks of quail and supplies for the people. And the last verse of the chapter talks about the wilderness that the people were walking in, and they forgot God's power. And it seemed like they forgot all that he had done, even though he continued to do many things. And we can see from this passage that the stories of our lives are to be recounted to our children, and not just children if we have them ourselves, but to every generation that follows us. We want the upcoming generation to know God, to have confidence in God and not to make the mistakes the Israelites made or the mistakes that we will make. And when I mean know God, I mean really know God, really love Jesus, not just attending church out of ritual or because they were born into a Christian family. Know him, love him, adore him, walk with him. We want to help the next generation behind us do the same and know the God that we know. The Bible says, tell your stories. And I love recounting the times in my life when I have experienced a miracle or experienced the presence of God in a very powerful way. And I can tell you today, I have seen a lot of things. I lived in Thailand for 10 and a half years, and there demon possession is the norm. So every single person who is saved, who gets saved, within a few months, they have to be delivered of demons. So I have seen thousands of demons flee. I have seen in my lifetime, I'm old, I'm going to be 60 in a month, which is just shocking, but I am. I have seen thousands of people baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I've seen thousands of people saved. I've seen people healed. I've seen miracles. I've heard and hear the voice of God. I've experienced waves of his presence when I'm in a worship service or by myself. I've seen people weep and fall and jump and shake in the presence of God, including myself. I see him in the people all over the world and the different cultures and the beauty of those cultures. And I see him in the majesty of the mountains and the oceans. I've watched women in strip clubs weep when they experience the presence of God for the very first time. These are not just stories. These are truths that I stand on. These things happen to me. They happen to people that I have been praying for. I also know many, many secondhand stories. And I've experienced the power of God throughout my entire life. Anyone in this room experienced the presence of God throughout your entire life? Could you raise your hand and please raise it high for every single person who needs to know that these are true stories. God is powerful. It's a story we tell. When I was a young woman, my faith was shaken and God reached out to me through a prophetic word through a stranger, and it shook me to the core and it helped me to get back on my feet and live the life I was supposed to live. These stories are really, really important. In Revelation 2, one of the letters to the church in Ephesus says that they had lost their first love, and the Spirit of God said this to them, consider how far you've fallen, repent, and do the things that you did at first. He's saying, remember who God is, then repent, and repeat the things that you used to do and know that you should do. Recount what God has done in your life over and over and over again so you live in love with him, so you live revived. And we need to remember to tell the story because when life gets hard, and it does get hard a lot, if a marriage is on shaky ground, or if you lose your job, or you go to the doctor and then they call you back, which is the worst thing ever, when perhaps a pandemic happens, or a nation gets invaded by another nation, we need to recall and remember who God is. Remind yourself of the truth of who God is, and not just for us, but for the generations following in our footsteps. Our stories are important. Your story is important. The biblical stories are important. The Bible stories of the past, the stories that I experience, have to be shared and must be told. And this morning, I want to look at two things. First of all, what stories are we telling as individuals? And secondly, what story are we telling as the church? Our text this morning talks about learning from the past and then teaching for the future. Learning from the past in Psalm 78, 1-3, the psalm opens and God is saying, learn from history. The remembering and the retelling of what God has done is designed to help those behind us be influenced to walk in relationship with God. God's living in obedience with God leads to blessing, and disobedience leads to disaster. The text says in Psalm 78, 1, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. In verse 1, hear my teaching, it's speaking of leaning into what God says, doing what God says. Why? Why do we walk in obedience? So we live a restricted life? So we're rule keepers? No. So we fully live. God is a way for us to live fully alive because sin is a temporary high. It is a bit of joy for a short period of time, but it's a long-term killjoy. And we walk in obedience because we want to live telling the story of God for the sake of the generation behind us. Psalm 1, 1-3 said, "Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person, you, are like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." The evidence of walking with God is obvious, and it's the story we all want to tell. Psalm 78:2 says, "I will open my mouth with a parable." And the word parable means to place one story alongside of another in comparison. In this case, the past of Israel was placed against present day, so those living today would not repeat the mistakes of the past. The lessons from the slavery in Egypt and all the miracles that God performed, along with the complaining and the dissatisfaction of the people, taught some really important things. For example, God intervenes in our lives. God is powerful, and we easily forget if he doesn't do what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, and how we want him to do it. 1 Corinthians says, learn these lessons, and the reason that they're recorded in the Bible is clear. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. God is saying, remember history. Talk about history. Tell your own stories. Talk about what God has done in your life. Read the Bible on a regular basis. Pray. So the lessons and mistakes that were found in the Word of God will remind us of how we are to live now. Verse 3 says, what we learn from our fathers is what we pass to our children. And while the methods have changed, the message is the same. The theme of the Bible is redemption, and how a sinful human being can become reconciled to a holy God is our message. Our settings are different from those of many years ago, but the sinful human heart is the same. So we learn from the past, so the next generation hears the beautiful story of God. Secondly, we teach for the future. The psalmist says, teach the children about the truth of God as revealed in his dealings with Israel in the past. Psalm 78:4, 6, and 8 says, we will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, the wonders that he's done. And then it says in verse 6, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, that they would turn and tell their children, and then they will put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and keep his commands. We're to teach the lessons about God's strength and might and tell the wonderful things he's done in our lives. Parents, grandparents are to teach children the lessons of who God is and what he's done. Young professionals, college students, there's a generation behind you watching how you tell the story, watching how you live. High school students, there's a generation behind you watching how you tell the story, learning, listening, wondering, questioning, is God real? And we tell them by how we live our lives. The telling is a daily, minute by minute, moment by moment. We can talk about how amazing he is to us when we sit at home, when we eat pizza late at night with friends, when we travel in the car, when bedtime comes, when we walk on our campuses, when we walk at our workplace. We walk it out every week as we grab our families by the hand and drive ourselves to church and get ourselves there together. We tell the story about how we think, how we live, how we speak, how we act, and what we do. We tell a story by the priorities in our lives. And I read this by a mom. Her name was Lindsay Kopp, and this is what she says. Take your kids to church. Make every effort to wake them up early and fool with the belts and the buckles and the bows and endure the sleepy, grumpy faces and the misplaced shoes. Run around like a madman or woman gathering everybody and everything and try to get them out of the door on time. Hop in the car with a shoe in one hand and a makeup bag in the other. give those babies Cheerios in a bag and milk in a cup and let them eat in the back seat of the car. And if it's raining, get yourself wet. And if it's cold, get a jacket. And if you're tired, go tired. But take those babies to church. You know why? Because Jesus is there. He's there and he'll meet them there and he'll meet you too. He'll meet you in the sweet smile of the kids' ministry teachers as he greets or she greets them into the room. He'll be there in the goldfish and the apple juice and fill their hearts and bellies. He'll be there in a hug from a sweet friend and a smile from another parent who says with that smile, yeah, we barely made it ourselves. He'll be there when the worship and the raised hands and the watery eyes and the whispers and the shouts of praise and in your dance. He's there in the sacred reading from the Bible, speaking to their impressionable hearts. Take them. Carry their Bibles and their drawings and their toilet paper tube creations. Sit by them in church. Raise your hands and let the tears fall. Open the Bible. Tell them of his greatness and his power and his faithfulness. Tell them with your words. Show them with your life. All of us, whatever age we are, have opportunities to model faithfulness and a love for Jesus and a heart on fire for Jesus, no matter what your age. We can make of every opportunity to pass along the account of God's faithfulness in the midst of the ups and downs of life. You know, in 2022, following God is not cool, and churches are not trending. So how do we ensure that the next generation knows God and walks with God? Because I want you to know today, they really, really matter. If you go to church and it's all old people, I want to tell you something. They're in trouble. The next generation really, really, really matters. They're going to secure the future of your church. They're going to secure the future of salvation of every student that goes to Carleton or the University of Ottawa or Algonquin. They're going to secure the future for the generation behind them. They really matter. We have to live a life on fire for Jesus for their sake. I'm telling you this morning, it's so important. You matter. Seniors, you matter because you can tell the story beautiful or you can be a grumpy old codger. You either go one way or the other. You have a story to tell. You are integral to the health of this body. You're integral to the salvation of our city. You're integral to the salvation of our nation. You really, really matter. Psalm 78:6 tells us who the story is for. This is what it says. So the next generation. Verse 7 says the goals. So they will set their hope in God. Teaching the truth about the amazing works of God, not only what he did in the past, but what he did for you today. Did you talk to him today? Share that. What did you read today in the Bible? Let them know. What miracles are you experiencing today? Pass that on. What does God's voice sound like to you? Tell them what it was like to experience his presence when you handed a sandwich to a stranger or you worshiped him in church. Let them see with a Bible on your lap at home. Let them tell this story to their friends. My mom and dad really, really love Jesus. My siblings really, really love Jesus. How do I know? Not just because they go to church on Sunday, but every day his power and his presence and his love is in my home. Truth that those before us held can become the truth that I hold. Truth that I hold can become the truth that my children hold. It's not truth that I hold just because my father held it. It's truth I hold because it's true and I've experienced it. So what is your story? Don't we all want to say this? 1 Corinthians 11:1, and I've put this in the first person. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Matthew 22:37. I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. Matthew 6:33, I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Galatians 5:22 and 23, my life is marked with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because we're telling a story every day. What's the story that you're telling? How do you tell the story? Number one, run to God. We have to know him for ourselves in a deep and meaningful way, not just in a ritual or a religious kind of way. I walked that path for many years as a pastor's wife. I become professional in my faith. We need a deep relationship. And we can model a passion for Jesus in all we do. And our wholehearted walk will become a wholehearted talk. And everyone will see that. You see, passion and indifference are both contagious. One brings life and the other brings death. I want to say that again. Passion and indifference are both contagious. One brings life and the other brings death. How we walk and how we talk and how we work and how we love is how we tell the story. Cultivate your relationship with Jesus above every other relationship. Live like your life depended on it. Live like others' lives depended on it, because it does. As we walk that out, others watching will know he's real. Secondly, with your kids, start young. Some have proposed that half of human growth takes place by the time a child reaches the age of 5. I remember a young dad telling me he didn't go to church on Sunday morning because the toddler liked to sleep in. I'm pretty sure it was dad that liked to sleep in. It's about priorities. During the early years, habits are formed. Rules of life are learned. And we want to seize a hold of those critical moments for our kids. Get them to church. They've got gifts. They've got the Holy Spirit in them, and he's not many. They have gifts to give to the church. Find a place to serve. Serve yourself and serve with them. Thirdly, teach with love. One of the best ways to tell the story is with love. Pray with your kids. Love your kids. Spend time with your kids. Serve people with your kids. And another way we pass the story is how we love others in front of our kids. How do we love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, even those with opposing opinions? We need to be so wise with our words, what we talk about, so wise with our actions, so wise with our social media posts. I mean, I don't know about you, but in the last couple years, I've seen things from the Christian community on social media that made me not want to be part of the Christian community. The next generation is watching. They need to know that we are a joy-filled, loving, amazing group of people that are passionate for Jesus and passionate for others. What story is the church telling? I think God's people are the most beautiful people on earth. We are flawed, but when we are healthy, we are beautiful. We have an amazing story to tell as the church. And if we walk in close relationship with God, we are just nicer. We're just kinder. We're more generous, more peace-filled, more hope-filled. We're more outward-focused. When my daughter was little and she was acting badly, I would say to you, are you reading your Bible? And if she said no, I'd say, I can tell, because Jesus makes us nicer. When your eyes are upward, we have an inward change. And then we have an outward focus. And that's the story we want the generations to hear. How do you tell the story? Well, Acts 2, 42 to 47 lays it out clearly. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and held everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to those who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A healthy church is a devoted church. Luke gives us a glimpse into what a healthy church telling a good story looks like. And here is our first thing that we can observe. They were devoted to teaching. It says in Acts 2:42, continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What that means modern day is they went to church every single Sunday and they loved it. A healthy church is devoted to hanging out. It says, and to fellowship. I'm not using the word fellowship because it's kind of sketchy sounding today, but they hung out together. There was a sense of community. They hung out over a cupcake, and they talked about who God is, and they passed the story to each other. They shared true intimacy as believers together. They were a praying church. Acts 2:42b, devoted themselves to prayer. The early church knew that without God, they couldn't accomplish much. Now, your pastor's a great guy, but it doesn't really matter how accomplished he is, because he can only do what man can do. But if we are people who pray, we get to see what the Holy Spirit can do through him and through the rest of us, which is incredible. Being a people of prayer is very important because prayer is the engine that drives the church. What a story we'd tell if we were an amazing people of prayer. We'd tell a story of God's power. And that's the next mark of a healthy church. They were a people of power. Acts 2:43, everyone was filled at awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. A healthy church experiences the power of God moving among their life. It's not marginal in the book of Acts. It's all through the book of Acts. God's people were walking in the miraculous. And for us today, it's hard for us to get a hold of that because we really think about what we can do mostly. And we can't demand that God do these things, but we can seek him like they did and expect the miraculous to happen through our lives. Imagine how he'd surprise us if we were full of spiritual power. The healthy church is also a generous church. Acts 2:44, the believers were together and had everything in common. When you are a healthy person and a healthy church, generosity is the outcome. A healthy church is a united church. Acts 2:46, they continued with one accord and to meet daily. Unity commands a blessing. And when we walk together, the power of God comes on our lives. And the love that we have for each other tells a story. A healthy church is a worshiping church. It said they praise God. And this group of believers were intent on praising God. Jesus was their focus and the desire of their hearts. Why does Psalm 150 say, praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings of the pipe. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. The drums are a blessing. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We praise God visibly because he's worthy. But there's a next generation watching. Is he real? Is he worthy? We want them to know the story. A healthy church displays an active faith. Acts 2:47a, they had favor with all the people. Why did they have favor? Perhaps it was the beauty of their personal relationships. Francis Schaeffer said this, true Christianity produces a beauty as well as truth. If we do not show beauty in the way we treat each other, then the eyes of the world and the eyes of our own children, we're destroying the truth we proclaim. This will be attractive to Christians and non-Christians, the beauty of how we love one another. And lastly, a healthy church is an outward-facing church. It said the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. A healthy church doesn't turn in on itself. It is outward-focused. It loves the world. It doesn't complain constantly about the world. They're not known for what they hate. They're known for what they love. Our burden should be growing every day in your faith for those who are lost and don't know Jesus. And we will see it as a privilege to tell the story to them about the only message that can set people free. The Lord works with a healthy church in a beautiful way. There's a blessing on a healthy church. New people all the time. New salvations, new baptisms, new Holy Spirit infillings, and new joy. And this is the kind of church we all want to have. And it's the kind of church that the next generation wants to be a part of. It's the story we tell. What story are you telling? There is no organization as beautiful as the church. And may we tell the story of an alive, filled with joy, faith every single day because we love Jesus more than anything else. And if we live that way individually as a church, what a story we'll tell. I want to end this morning with this verse, Psalm 145:4. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Let's pray. Father, we want to tell the story today. We want to tell the story with love. We want to tell the story with joy. We want to tell the story with hope. And I pray for this family of believers today that every single one of us would be alive in our faith today, that we would not be hearkening back to something that happened 20 years ago, but what you said today, what you're doing today in our lives. May our faith be clear and marked with beauty, Lord. May we as a church be blessed and grow and be filled with joy and hope. And may those who don't know you yet find you because of the joy and the peace and the promise they find in this place. God, I pray for those today who might be here who don't know you or have stepped out of relationship with you. I pray, oh God, that today would be the day they are welcomed home into your arms again. And may they live their life beautifully before you, Lord. I pray blessing on the pastors, Pastor Jeff and his team. May this church, oh God, be a powerful example of who you really are in this area of our city. And may countless people flood this place because of the story they tell together. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said together, amen. God bless you.